follow me, says Jesus. Oh, one out there, Andre. Thank you. Over the last little while in church, we've thought about following Jesus. What does it mean to follow Jesus? Back at Easter time, which seems now like an eternity ago, yet not that long ago, following Jesus from the resurrection, the two disciples on the road to Emmaus, working through Mark's gospel, following Jesus in the place of prayer, following Jesus with a heart of compassion, following Jesus in the storms, when life hurts, when you're up against it, following Jesus and that call to living a holy life, following Jesus with a pure heart, following Jesus with all you have, following Jesus and carrying your cross. What does it mean to follow Jesus? Who are you following? Where are they going? It's very subtle. Don't know if you're catching it or not. Three of our members on TV this week in BBC Newsline. Jim and Morris off to the assembly. Who was following who, Morris? So when you're following somebody, where are you going? Are you confident in that person? Follow me is active. Follow me isn't something that's static, something, it's moving, it's shifting. We talk about the journey of faith. Thank you to everyone who was following us and interested in just giving us good wishes on our holidays. When we were over with Connor in America, basically for 3 weeks, Robin, Karen and I followed Connor everywhere. He drove us hundreds and hundreds of miles. At times in the different cities and towns we were in, we had no idea where we were going. But Connor has been there for 3 years. So we trusted him and we followed him. It was an active thing. We didn't sit in the house or the hotel room. We went out and most of the time, followed Connor. To follow Jesus is active. There's movement. Following Jesus, also when we know this passage in Mark, at times the movement is leaving things behind. In Mark chapter 1, they left their nets and followed him. Peter and Andrew, then James and John. They left their nets. They followed him. In Christianity Explored on Thursday night, we were thinking about blind Bartimaeus. Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. Following Jesus is active. It's not passive. Hebrews 12, verse 1, encourages us to throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, and let us fix our eyes on Jesus as we follow him. So this morning, question, is your faith an active faith? Is there movement? Is there journey with Jesus? And in action, are there things in your life and my life that are displeasing to the Lord and need left behind? Because faith and following Jesus is active. It demands change. Follow me and I will make you, for Peter and Andrew, for Peter especially, fishers of men. Demands change to become more like Jesus, and I will make you. Romans, Paul writes, to be conformed to the likeness of his Son. If you're a believer this morning, following Jesus means that we are transformed to become more like Jesus. Now, how is that transformation going? I ask myself the same question. In following Jesus, am I allowing him to change me? For the better, for the good, because that is what he has at his heart for us. We talk often about, or you hear people talking often about the power of the Spirit. The power of the Spirit. Give me the power of the Spirit. And absolutely right. But we don't so often talk about the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Are we allowing the fruit of the Spirit? And are we humbling ourselves to allow God to change us? Love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, self-control. So is the fruit of the Spirit evident? And not only evident, but at this time of the year in our gardens, we see growth. Is there growth evident in my life? Because following Jesus is active. Following Jesus demands change. Following Jesus to develop our skills and abilities. Also in the book of Ephesians, it talks about the gifts that are given for the building up of God's church. And in chapter 4 here, let me just... It was him who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach the unity of faith and knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Following Jesus demands change, to become more like Christ and to develop our skills and our gifts. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. So what has God put at our hands to do that we are then serving the church and serving others, and in serving, we are changing and becoming more Christ-like? I am told, I'm not a businessman, but I'm told that there's a law in business that says, stand still and die. Stand still and die. If as a business you just stand still and mark time, as a firm you will go nowhere. In a changing world with internet and computer, and I know again folk in church here who business has changed to be so much online, because if you stand still you die. As a believer, stand still and you will die. Your faith will struggle. Grow and develop in a changing marketplace. Grow and develop in a changing world. Following Jesus is active. Following Jesus demands change. Following Jesus is about taking time with Jesus. And Jesus taking time with us. Jill Briscoe has a great little book called By Hook or By Crook. And it's how God shaped a fisherman into a shepherd. Peter, the big, rough, gruff fisherman, in John 21, we read Jesus saying, come follow me, feed my lambs, feed my sheep, take care of my sheep. And how God changed a fisherman into a shepherd. What does he need to do in your life and my life? But that will happen as we take time with him. This little verse in John chapter 3 is a beautiful verse. Jesus invited the disciples to come with him into the countryside where he spent time with them. Where he spent some time with them. The Greek, and again I'm no great scholar, but the Greek is a word called diatribo. Diatribo means to rub into the skin. It's like, ladies, your moisturizing cream or whatever. But you rub it in, and you rub it in deep, and it changes your complexion. We have the term to rub off on somebody. Oh, he's really rubbed off on him. Well, that's the picture here. The disciples are invited into the countryside to spend time with Jesus that he might rub off on them. So discipleship, following Jesus, means taking time with him. The ESV version takes this verse and says, he remained there with them. And it reminded me of that little passage in John 15 about the vine and the branches, where so many times you remain in me and my word will remain in you. If you remain in me, if you don't remain in me, you will die. The whole picture here is that Jesus rubs off on us as we spend time with him. Question for you and I, is that evident in our lives? Like Alexander said, talking about him all the time. That there's something that infects us deep inside, that it has to work its way out, and growth and change happens. Another little book that I read a few years ago, just simply called Follow by Floyd McClung, where he says this: we must allow God to love us to the point where he captures our complete devotion. We must allow God to love us to the point where he captures our complete devotion. That only happens when we spend time with him. Spend time with Jesus. And like I tried to convey with the children, that little passage where Peter and John are arrested for preaching about Jesus, and then when they're finally released, but in the court, we read that the leaders, the church leaders, took note that, get this, that they were unschooled and ordinary men, yet they took note that these men had been with Jesus. There was something had rubbed off. They were unschooled and ordinary men, yet these church leaders took note that they had been with Jesus. And there was something different. Those who followed the way, followers of Jesus. To follow Jesus is about having a clear vision. Christine read wonderfully for us there from this passage in John chapter 6. Jesus is preaching. Many, many people are following him. And he talks, really, as we shared last week in communion, about my body, the bread, my blood, the wine. And they, obviously, and you can understand why they didn't quite get it. But they were saying, this is a hard teaching. And many people began to drift from Jesus. Many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. They didn't have a clear vision of who Jesus was. There's a painful little verse in 2 Timothy. We only read his name a few times in the New Testament, that he is on mission trip with Paul. But then we read in 2 Timothy, Demas, because he loved this world, has deserted me and gone. Stopped following. Walked away from the Lord. We need to have a clear vision of who Jesus is. And in this story, we read many people stopped following Jesus. And Jesus said, do you want to leave too? Simon Peter answered, Lord, to whom shall we go? To whom else shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We believe and know that you are the Holy One of God. To follow Jesus demands everything. Again, Floyd McClung, great little quote from his book, Follow. Believing in Jesus is not just a nice religious thing to do. Unfortunately, we often make it like that. But integrating that belief into the deepest part of our being transforms every aspect of our lives. Lord, to whom else can we go? In the world in which we live today, when people are chasing so many things and trying to find satisfaction and fulfillment in so many things, those words of Peter, Lord, to whom else can we go? Because you alone have the words of eternal life. That's the clarity of vision that we need. And at times it's more than difficult to follow Jesus, but with clear vision, we're called to follow after him. Follow me is an active phrase. It's an active call. It's not passive. Follow me demands change. Follow me and I will make you. I will remake you. I will shape you for the better. But so often in church, it's that little ticket to heaven, sit in her pew and everything's good. I'm sorted. That is not following Jesus. Following Jesus means taking time with him, that he might rub off on us, that little phrase, diatribal, to rub into the skin, that Jesus may rub off on us, that we may follow him and become more like him. And follow Jesus is clear vision, that everything else becomes blurred because we see the clarity and the reality of who Jesus is and what life in him brings to us, for us, and in us. Follow me, says Jesus. We're going to sing, because they call it an old hymn. It was written in 1964. That was the year I was born. So for some, Gordy, yes, it's definitely an old hymn. Follow him, yield your life to him. He has conquered death. He is King of Kings. But the last verse of this lovely old hymn, O Holy Spirit of the Lord, enter now into this heart of mine. Take full control of my selfish will and make me wholly thine. This hymn is a prayer. As we sing it, think of the words. The band will play it in a way that builds it up. And maybe if the children want to slip out then during the last verse. But please take this hymn as a prayer of response to what we've just thought about in following Jesus. Robert's going to start us. Thanks, Robert.